You're listening to a sermon by Paul Thiessen, recorded on Sunday, March 19th, 2023, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you, Alice. Well, it really is wonderful to be able to worship together in actual real time. And I do get to sing with Deborah every week. We're both tenors in the Carisdale Brockhouse Choir. And so we get to sit next to each other in the choir. At the beginning of the pandemic, I found it quite interesting to see the different responses to sheltering in place between me and my wife. While I was fully endorsing the necessity of restricting social engagement to reduce contagion, I did not appreciate the isolation, which inevitably resulted. My wife Evangeline, on the other hand, embraced social isolation with enthusiasm. Regretted when the quarantine ended, as she savors her alone time in a way I find difficult to grasp. Hey, we still manage to live together. I therefore feel I must explain why I, as a self-proclaimed and shameless extrovert, suddenly became interested in the Desert Fathers. My interest in the Desert Fathers began when I was taking a UBC course in medieval art last fall. In the course of this, we examined the role of monasteries in the art of that era, and the monks and their search for solitude inevitably arose. The book, The Wisdom of the Desert, by Thomas Merton was referenced, and this really piqued my interest. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk, born in 1915, who died in 1968. And if you know anything about Trappists, which I didn't know a lot, but they're one of the Catholic orders who take their isolation most seriously. Which brings us to the question, who were the Desert Fathers and what were their aims? The other book that I found very helpful was this one called The Desert Fathers the author, Benedicta Ward. There are still real advantages of being able to take books out of region library. The Desert Fathers were monks who lived in the desert of northern Egypt between Cairo and Alexandria, mostly as hermits, beginning in the 3rd century AD or Common Era. Their sayings went from mouth to mouth in the Coptic tradition, before being translated and immortalized in a classic collection called the Verba Sonorium. These were originally written in Greek and then translated into Latin in the 6th and 7th centuries. The language of these sayings is plain, unpretentious, and characterized by honest simplicity. These sayings of the Desert Fathers are typically conversations between a younger monk and a spiritual father, or as advice given to visitors. The Desert Fathers were mostly men with a smattering of women. They were humble and silent and generally did not have much to say. They weren't encouraged to speak up much. They devoted themselves to prayer, austerity, and work. Rather than responding to life with abstract principles, they preferred to tell a concrete story. The basic tenets of their interior life were faith, humility, charity, meekness, discretion, and self-denial. They followed the examples of some of the prophets like John the Baptist, Elijah, and the apostles who served them as models. They neither courted the approval of their contemporaries nor sought to provoke their disapproval because the opinions of others had ceased for them to be matters of importance. Over time, their severe asceticism and isolation began to change. They began supporting themselves by the labor of their hands, usually weaving baskets or mats and selling them in nearby towns. And they formed monasteries where community was created and where charity and hospitality began to take precedence over fasting and personal solitude. Prayer remained the heart of the desert life and consisted of both psalmody, which was vocal prayer, and recitation of the Psalms and scriptures, and also contemplation. What we would today call contemplative prayer was referred to as quies, or rest. Quies is silent absorption, aided by the soft repetition of a phrase of the scriptures, the most popular being the prayer, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner." In his book, Thomas Merton states that if these men say little about God, as they knew that when one has been somewhere close to his dwelling, silence makes more sense than a lot of words. A typical exchange recorded in the Wisdom of the Devert is when Abbas Theophilus, the archbishop, came to Scetus, this is one of the main towns in this area, to visit, and the brethren were assembled. Someone said, "Say something to the archbishop so that he may be edified." To which one old man said, "If he's not edified by my silence, he will not be edified by my speech." Their charity was exemplified by the admonishment not to acquire anything for yourself that you might hesitate to give away if asked for it. One of their quotes was, "If anyone asks to give to them, and if anyone wants to borrow from you, do not turn them away from them." That's reflecting the words of Matthew 5:40. "If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well." These monks were trying to follow in the steps of Jesus, of whom it was said in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Which is certainly commendable, but what if one is not inclined to solitude and quietness, but still has an earnest interest in drawing closer to God? I confess I do not have the natural temperament to easily understand why people find it desirable to subject themselves to solitude and social isolation in this striving to get closer to God. I started out with the hope in this message that I might myself become more enlightened. If the Desert Fathers were looking for God in their isolation, then I too wanted to gain new insights into how they achieved a closer encounter with God. What I encountered was a bit of a wall, which I found difficult to get beyond. My wife saw my frustration and pointed me to a song written by Brian McLaren and based on poetry by Teresa of Avila in the 16th century. Quote, "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he sees. Yours are the feet with which he walks. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world." This song basically says that God can be found outside of solitude. Many people are only capable of seeing God in his incarnated form when he's wearing skin and bones. Here I began to draw comfort from the passages in the Bible which indicate that we can approach God through our relationships and by seeing God in others. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We are also told in Matthew 18:20 that where two or three come together in my name, I am with them. This seems to indicate that when we intentionally seek God in our relationships, we can encounter God there. It comes down to our ability to recognize his presence. How much isolation and withdrawal for contemplation is healthy and constructive, both then and now? Should we strive to spend more time alone in contemplation, or should we strive to spend more time in communication with others? How can we identify that sweet spot? between engaging with others and seeking to spend time alone. In the end, both should be evaluated according to their ability to produce the life and awareness of God in us. A sign of our success was articulated by the poet Christian Wiman, who wrote, "This is how you ascertain the truth of genuine spiritual experience. It propels you back into the world and other people, not simply more deeply within yourself." In contrast to Merton's treatise focusing on the life of hermits and monks who took themselves out of the mainstream of society to live lives of isolation, I've been reading a book called The Good Life, just published now in 2023. Authors, one a physician and one a psychologist, and focuses on the Harvard study of adult development. This is a longitudinal study which began in the late 1930s and has been conducted for over 80 years with thousands of completed interviews. It basically seeks to understand what makes us happy and fulfilled. What has been clearly revealed in this comprehensive study is that at the heart of contentedness with life are relationships and being socially linked to others. Wealth and financial security are of much less importance in achieving satisfaction and equanimity in life. Being socially isolated seems to be a significant factor in discontent and unhappiness with living for most people. So as Christians, what should be our attitude towards isolation and social engagement? How do we find that balance which allows us to support others and still find time to engage in deep and meaningful contemplation as well as exploration of the scriptures? What are the markers that we are too isolated in contrast to being too socially engaged? How can we most constructively seek God's guidance in finding that ideal balance? In Psalm 46:10, we read, "Be still and know that I am God." But my dilemma is how still and for what length of time? There is one place in Scripture where God is said to speak in a still, small voice. This is 1 Kings 9:11 to 13. Quotes, "Then God said to Elijah, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice.'" How do we find that quietness that allows us to hear God's voice speaking to us? Cultivating stillness in our busy lives is essential to be open to hear God's voice. In the end, I came to conclude that God wants to draw all of us out of and beyond our comfort zones into an identity that has Him at the center. For those of us who are social and gregarious, without an external something to anchor our relationships, they can become competitive and rancorous and fraught with bitterness and resentment. We must enter the desert to find that anchor. For those of us with a natural affinity for isolation, we must realize that God connects our relationship with Him to our relationship with others. We cannot run to God as a way of getting away from others, as all our relationships are connected. In the end, God will stretch all of us beyond what we think possible.